I want to let's start in Psalms 138 this morning. Psalms 138, and I want to continue our study this morning on the Word of God, and the reverence that we should have for it, and the importance it should have in our lives. And when I'm thinking about that, this verse here comes to mind. We read this verse several weeks ago, but I want to touch base with it again this morning. Psalms 138, verse 1, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And I want to note here and point out that the context here that David has to do with praising the Lord with his whole heart and worshiping the Lord and worshiping toward the holy temple and his in praise. And notice how that is tied to his word and how it all goes. You can't worship the Lord, you can't praise the Lord, you can't bring glory to the Lord and honor to the Lord apart from his word. It's interlinked, it's tied together. But primarily, I looked at the last part of verse 2 to look at God's attitude toward his word. He says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In other words, that's how God looks at his word. He doesn't look at his word as any just willy-nilly. His word. And I want to make note of this because we've looked at it in the past. So I want to review this. His word, I've magnified my word above all my name. And of course, we know that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And his name is something to be feared and revered. But he said he magnified his word above all his name. In fact, he's so closely related to his word. Hold on to Psalms 138 and turn to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Notice, skip down to verse 14, just for time's sake. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, who's it talking about here? He's talking about Christ Himself, isn't he? That's how close you relate His Word to Christ. It's synonymous. I only had 3 cups of coffee this morning, so. But His Word is synonymous with Him. You can't separate Him from the Word. And I want the key thing here to point out is notice in turn back to Proverbs, and I told you to hold Psalms 138, but you don't have to. Turn to Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Every word of God is pure, and He is a shield unto them that trust in Him. Word, the Word, and you see this, how it works together here? But notice it's every word, because the Word of God is made up of individual words. And I look at it kind of like the body of Christ. The body of Christ is one body. It is the body of Christ. It is the church, which is His body. But that individual body is made up of what? Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So inside of the body of Christ is individual members. And each of these individual members are holy and righteous in God's sight. They're pure. If you're saved today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are pure. You are holy. You are righteous. You are undefiled. Not in your physical flesh, but in the way God sees you eternally, you are justified. Individually, members of the body of Christ. Well, the Word of God is a collection of words of God. And those individual words of God are holy and pure and just. And every word of God is pure. That's why it's important here in verse 6 that you add thou not unto His words. And that's what people do. Oh yeah, I believe you're saved by grace through faith, not of works. But I think you need to do this and this and this too. I think that this needs to happen too. You got to do this. You got to add this. There's all throughout the Bible. There's other places in the Bible that talk about not adding to His words, because His words are pure words. And when you add pure to unpure, it becomes defiled. Add not to His words. Now, I want to look at this because we've established that the Word of God, the words of God are pure, they're holy, they're righteous, they're just what God would have them to be. But the question today is, in the little bit of time I have left, where is the Word of God? What is the Word of God? If it's the Word of God, then the words of God are pure. So what we need to find out is the thing that you've got in your lap, hopefully that you brought this morning, is it the Word of God? And if you call it the Word of God, then what that means is the words in it are right. They're pure. And if there are words in there that aren't right and aren't pure, then guess what? You shouldn't call it the Word of God. Because if there's words in it that's wrong, then it's not collectively the Word of God. Let's look at something here. Turn back to Psalms. We're in Proverbs. Turn back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Let's see where the Word of God is. Notice in Psalms 119, Notice verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Okay? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So I know then that at least in heaven, the word of God is settled, right? So we know that it's settled in heaven. That means that settled means that it's not moving around, it's not changing, it doesn't change. Well, you know, society's changed, so we got to have this, we got to do it this way. The word of God is settled in heaven. And what I believe, and I want to show you some scripture to show this, as I've been studying this, I believe that it's settled in heaven and it's written in heaven. Let me show you why I believe that. Turn to Daniel. Look in Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel was in mourning and was praying for 3 straight weeks. And he was in a bad way, and he was praying, and he was diligently praying for 3 weeks. And finally, an angel came to Daniel, and let's go to verse 10. In Daniel 10:10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the planes of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So the angels come. It took him 3 weeks. Notice verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thou understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And so he's come to tell Daniel, to help him to understand, make him understand some things that are going to happen in the future. Right? Verse 15, And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like a similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. When I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with me with this my Lord? For as for me straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I mean, Daniel's just, he's just a wash rag in front of this angel. So you hear these people talking about, they wake up and there's an angel standing at the foot of their bed. You know, this is how you react. This is how Daniel reacted to an angel. But I'm just setting it up here because I really want to get down to what he says to Daniel. Skip down to verse 20. Then said he, this is the angel now, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But notice verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. Notice what he says. I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And so the next chapter, chapter 11, is this angel telling Daniel prophecy. Was he making this up as he went along? Was this something that just came out of thin air? What did he say? He said, I will show thee that which is what? Noted. In what? Scripture. Well, what scripture? Last week we looked at what scripture is. Scripture is the writing down of the Word of God. The word script. All of you and students out there that's taking language arts or taking English, you have to do these root words, right? You have to do your stems. Y'all know what I'm talking about. What does script? Writing, isn't it? This angel was quoting scripture to Daniel. You reckon where it was written down at? Where'd he come from? Come from heaven, didn't he? See, the Word of God is settled in heaven. In fact, turn over to Revelation. Turn to Revelation. And look in Revelation chapter 20. This is the great white throne judgment. All right? This is a judgment. This is a judgment that you don't want to be a part of. Anybody in this room right now doesn't have to be a part of this judgment. This is the judgment. Notice, well, let's just look at it. Verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What are they judged out of? They're judged out of those things written in books. There's some books that they're going to be judged out of. Scripture. The Word of God. Today, God is offering grace. God is offering salvation. God is offering eternal life, a free gift to anyone that will receive it. Because Jesus Christ went to a cross and He died. And He was buried and He rose again the third day. And anybody in here who will believe that and trust that for themselves, not adding anything to it, believing the words, believing the gospel, the words of the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Savior and calling upon Him. You believe that and you're saved. But these people here, they're not. They didn't believe that. There's going to be a book opened up. And in that book, the Word of God is going to convict them and show that they're guilty. And that all the world may become guilty before God, it says in Romans. They're going to be judged out of what they did with this gospel. What did they do with the gospel of Christ? What have you done with the gospel of Christ? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when you saw yourself lost and in need of a Savior and you call upon Him, trust in Him? Not trust in something that you've done. Not trust in something that you've said. Not trust in that you've gone to church. Believing and trusting on what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. You will be judged at this judgment based on what you've done with this. The Word of God is settled. It's not going to change. It's not there's no white out there. There's no corrections. It's true. It's the Word of God. It's settled. Those of us who are saved, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a judgment for those of us who are saved too. And Paul talks about this judgment here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This judgment here, this is not the same judgment as the great white throne judgment. This is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. This is the judgment for our works as saved members of the body of Christ. That is a judgment by fire. Notice the fire does two things at this judgment. First off, the fire burns away wood, hay, stubble, bad works. And it purifies the good works. But notice what else it does. It says, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So the fire is going to burn up the bad works, but it's also going to be save the individuals at this judgment. You know what I believe that fire is? You don't have to hold to 1 Corinthians. Turn over to Jeremiah. And look in Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice verse 26, Jeremiah 23, verse 26. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. They've gone into idolatry. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Notice verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Thy word, what? My word is like as a fire. You know what? That fire at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe it's Scripture. I believe it's His word. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for as our works, whether they be good or bad. And it's going to be based on something. It's not just based on a whim. It's not like the Lord's going through at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I don't like that one. That's a good one. No. It's settled in heaven already. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to finish up here for this week. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a familiar verse, but the context here, again, Jeremiah, we was reading, it was about the prophets who say words that aren't true words. Notice this. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. What are we talking about here? False words. Words that aren't any good. Right? Kind of like Jeremiah. But to the subverting of the hearers. How do you do that? Study. To show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you see if your works match up and are going to match up to that judgment? How do you judge what you're doing in this life and whether or not it is something for the glory and honor of the Lord, or if it's just a work that's going to burn someday? It's based upon our reverence and our study and our understanding of the Word of truth and whether we've rightly divided it. Why? Well, because if I try to live my life back in the Old Testament and the Scripture that's there, that's not the test. That's not what it's going to be based on. You know, I taught for several years, and I always, when I taught, I always wanted my students to know exactly what it is I expected them to learn. I didn't want them to have to guess. I didn't want them to have to figure it out on their own. That was my job, to teach them. This is what you need to know. This is what's important. Well, you see, the way God has lined up His Bible and He has put His Bible in order, it's not just the words, but it's the way that the books line up. It's to be divided rightly. And we've got our apostle, the Apostle Paul, who has given us the doctrine for us today, the gospel for us today, and our works and our life need to line up with what He says. A lot of it's hard. We're in grace. We're saved for eternal life. But the words that He tells us to live by, they're not that easy. And we're going to stand and give an account for the things that we've done in our body, and it's going to be based on His Scripture and His Word that's settled in heaven. And it's not going to change. Lord willing, next week I want to look at how we also can find and know that the Word that we have today is settled as well. Okay? Thank you. You can take a break.